Welcome to the Real Estate Pros Podcast, the weekly show for real people in the business of residential sales and property management. Ready to talk insights and inspiration with today's guest, here's your host, Josh Cobb.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Real Estate Pros Podcast. I am, as always, Josh Cobb. And before we start this week's show, I just wanted to take the chance to say thank you to all of you for your support in our journey with the show so far. It's because of you that Real Estate Pros has been consistently ranked in the iTunes New and Noteworthy list and in the top 100 list for business podcasts. So I'm grateful to everyone who tunes in each week. And thank you for all of the kind emails of support that you've sent, not only to me, but to our guests, to let them know that their stories have resonated with you as well. So thank you very much. We really appreciate it. I'd like to take the chance to also thank our amazing sponsors, Consol, Beepo, Business Depot, and Real Estate Dynamics for their support, because without them, this show wouldn't be possible. And I know that all of them have at least one thing that can help you run a better business. So I encourage you to check them out and see how they can help you. So on to this week's show. I'm excited to be chatting with my good friend, Doug Driscoll, the CEO of Star Partners. Doug is going to share with us his background in the real estate industry and what brought him here to Australia from the UK. We're going to discuss the debate surrounding our online listing portals. And Doug is going to share with us some exciting new initiatives that has led Star Partners to be named as Australia's most innovative real estate brand 2 years in a row. But before we catch up with Doug, I have another discovery I'd like to share with you this week. So let's do that right now.
Today's show is brought to you by Business Depot, real estate specialists, accountants and business advisors. From startup to growth or succession, muscle up and raise the bar of your real estate business. Check them out at businessdepot.com.au.
This week, I'd like to tell you about an app called IFTTT, which stands for If This, Then That. And what this app allows you to do is create automated workflows across all of your online services. What you do is set up a trigger, something such as a new email being received, for example, and then you create an action based on the trigger. So for example, if you've received an email from someone who is not a LinkedIn contact, you can trigger LinkedIn to send an automatic connection request every time you receive a new email from someone who is not a contact. There's about 145 channels, I believe, that you can choose from. So Facebook, email, Twitter, and all those services to help you automate a lot of the things that you're probably doing manually. I encourage you to check it out. It's free to join, and you can find out all about it at www.ifttt.com. And with that, let's transition into this week's interview. I'm excited about introducing our guest today, Doug Driscoll, the CEO of Star Partners in Sydney. Originally from the UK, Doug is widely regarded as one of the industry's prominent thought leaders. Holding a degree in business and finance, Doug is also a highly respected media commentator, having featured on a number of BBC and Sky television programs. In addition to regular market commentary in the Financial Review, Sydney Morning Herald and the Daily Telegraph. Doug, I've given our listeners just a brief overview, but take a moment. Tell us a little bit more about you personally and then give us an overview of your business.
Greetings, Josh. Greetings, listeners. Firstly, thank you for that rather grandioso introduction. Well, I'll give you the short version, if I may. For the observant amongst you, you'll notice that I don't originally hail from these parts. I only moved to Australia in 2010. I started my career about sort of 14 years ago now. And like probably most people listening, I, as a child, didn't grow up wanting to be an estate agent. I sort of almost sort of stumbled into the industry, if you like. I started from the very bottom and I worked my way up. So I started as a sales cadet all the way through to then managing and running offices in the UK. Then I got involved in the corporate side of things, decided to make the move over to Australia in 2010, and here I am today.
You're enjoying your time since you've been over here for the last 4 years, sir?
Oh, absolutely. Look, I mean, for me, I'm all about challenges. You know, the bigger, the bolder the challenge, the better. And I think certainly the Australian real estate landscape has proved just that. So, yeah, look, so far, so good.
And just a little bit about Star Partners. Give our listeners a little bit more of an overview of what Star Partners are all about, where you're located, how many offices you have.
I think we're a bit of a sleeping giant in the real estate landscape. We now have just opened our 30th office here in Sydney. To give you some more sort of context of our area of operation, our footprint covers now nearly two-thirds of the city. We also have an office on the Central Coast. As of the end of the last financial year, if you add all of our territories together, We are now number one in our area of operations, something we're very, very proud of. I think collectively or collaboratively, we now manage close to 14,000 properties. We also have a commercial arm and indeed a strata arm. So I wouldn't necessarily say we're the best real estate group in the country, but we're certainly in the top one.
Well, Star Partners were recently named the most innovative real estate brand in Australia for the second year in a row at the Australian Real Estate Awards. What does innovation mean to Star Partners, Doug? And what are some of the things that you guys are working on right now that's getting you fired up?
Well, I think the thing for me is firstly, when you look at innovation, actually defining exactly what it is, because I think there are a number of fallacies or misconceptions around the subject. I think most people, when I think about innovation, they're purely and simply related to technology. But for me, my own personal definition is innovation is the ability to convert ideas into invoices. And let's face it, there's an awful lot of ideas out there, but how many of them actually get implemented? I think they're basically unhatched eggs otherwise. So for us, we're always looking at ways to constantly improve and refine what we do. It really is that simple. So we've done a number of fairly bold and innovative things over the last 3 to 4 years. To give you an idea, chief amongst which, obviously, we were the first to even have a property search app in Australia before even the likes of realestate.com or Domain. You know, we were the first to introduce the draw search concept on web portals. We trialled NFC, near field communication, before anybody else, in my opinion anyway, that I'm aware of globally. And more recently, we've looked at things like augmented reality. And again, we've pioneered that in Australia and indeed to a lesser extent globally. Now we're looking at, again, looking at things like immersive augmented reality. So we're looking at taking it to the next level, really heightening that consumer engagement. We're also looking at improving a number of our internal infrastructures. You know, one of the things that I'm hell-bent on now is different sources or different platforms talking to one another. So we're doing a lot of things there. Obviously, a lot of things in regards to social media as well. You know, we want CRM platforms now to have full integration into all the social media platforms. So we're certainly keeping busy, that's for sure.
And just for our listeners who don't understand what augmented reality actually is, can you break that down? Maybe use the example of the app that you've got at the moment in relation to how that really brings a floor plan of a property to life, for example. I've had the opportunity to have a bit of a play with that myself. Can you explain for the listeners what that means for the consumer and what that allows them to do?
Well, I think in simple terms or layman terms, augmented reality as we speak is based on an app. So you download an app, essentially that app will then give you the proviso then to be able to point your smartphone at a for sale board, a newspaper advertisement, a window display, anything pertaining to that property, and essentially that would then come alive. So if you would point it at the floor plan, as you touched upon, and the floor plan obviously would be two-dimensional, it would then transform it to a four-dimensional floor plan. So you can actually hover or move around the smartphone in and around that floor plan on those set of sales particulars. It would, as I said, transform into four-dimensional, but you can actually then dip into rooms and drop around and have a look around. So it is quite amazing. But the next phase is even more incredible, but I won't go into too much detail there. But as I said, watch this space, I guess.
Sure. No, look, I've had the chance to have a play around with it, and everyone that we've shown it to, the response has been the same, which is just wow, you know, from a consumer's perspective and how engaging that is.
And I would fully concur. Look, I don't think I've shown it to anybody without them using that one word, wow.
We probably should disclose, Doug, we've been mates for a little while, and a topic we've spoken about quite regularly is mystery shopping. Can you explain for our listeners some of the things that you've measured in your mystery shopping? Did it include your own offices, and what were the results?
Well, mystery shopping, you know, as you've touched upon, is something close to both our hearts. Now, the reason why I undertook my own personal mystery shopping was actually to give me a better idea of the Australian real estate market when I moved here. And what I decided to do, because I was an absolute unknown, was I was able to go actually and have a look around over 200 offices across Sydney and actually try to determine who the movers and shakers were. But I really wanted to have a realistic idea of what was said and done. You can ask people, of course, but they'll always give you the sugar-coated version. So there's nothing better than actually going out and having a good look for yourself. Now, I visited over 200 offices, as I said, and the results quite frankly, were quite scary, really. You know, you'd walk into an office or into an open home, and to be frank, a lot of the offices I was visiting, in fact, the vast majority of them really did let themselves down. And again, if I'm being totally candid, there were two or three of the Star Partners offices that certainly had areas for improvement. And I've continued to do that in the four or so years that I've been here. And slowly but surely, certain things in our own group have definitely improved and got better. But generally speaking, I think across the industry, arguably, it may have even got worse. You know, I think that complacency has crept in. So for me, I think mystery shopping is absolutely everything. I certainly think there is room for improvement. Any business owner listening to this now, I would certainly encourage you, in fact, urge you to go out and actually employ a third party to mystery shop your business and all aspects and all assets of your business, because there are definitely going to be areas there where you may look at and go, you know, God, I could really look at improving that. And ultimately, by doing that, that's going to have a follow-on effect to your bottom line.
And so you were actually attending open homes as a prospective buyer or a prospective seller. It wasn't just over the phone chit chat with an agent. You were actually physically there at open homes and that sort of thing, were you?
Oh, the whole box and dice. I was phoning up. I was visiting open homes. I was dropping into offices. I was sending email inquiries, essentially testing every touch point. So every form or channel, if you like, wherein a consumer can engage with an estate agency. So I was doing all of the above.
And you touched on the word complacency there. I remember a blog article that you wrote recently where you said that it seems that complacency is really creeping into the real estate industry, you know, as prime market conditions cause agents to abandon good habits and some have become more like facilitators in the sales process. Do you think this has any impact on the public perception of people in real estate? And if so, in what way do you think?
I think, firstly, what I'd point out, I suppose, as somewhat of a disclaimer, is that when I make comments like that or indeed write blogs such as this, you know, it isn't me criticising the industry, it's me challenging the industry. And one of the things you need to look at in regards to the complacency is just the way in which we are perceived now. You know, you are finding more and more people in this market anyway that are looking to sell their property privately because they don't see value in what we do. And that's exactly what we need to ask ourselves. You know, do we add value to the process? And if so, how do we do it? So even if by sheer nature, you look at the term estate agent, if you Googled it or looked it up in a dictionary, you know, surely it would say, you know, an individual that would sell properties. I don't believe now that's what we do. The skill in terms of the sales component now is obviously winning the listing. But, you know, the properties themselves, well, you know, we're just sticking them on the online portals and obviously waiting for the phone to ring. In fact, when I actually moved to Sydney, someone once famously said to me, agents don't sell houses, people buy them. And at the time, I thought that was a most bizarre comment. However, you know, it took me a few days to realise exactly what was meant by that.
No doubt. During that mystery shopping process, no doubt.
Oh, look, and I think, you know, the reality is that, look, properties are easier to sell in this marketplace. But again, it goes back to that value. Are we going above and beyond the call of duty? Are we doing enough? So in the, obviously, we win the trust of that person. And will that person go away, recommend us to their friends and families, and indeed come back to us as and when the time is ready to sell again?
And do you think the discussion in the industry around the online real estate portals, you know, it's certainly not going away, but, well, the imminent launch of, you know, an industry backed portal. What's your opinion in what the online space will look like in the next 3 to 5 years and what it means for the industry? But as well, what do you think the public think about it? Do they really care at where their property is listed? And is all this infighting really affecting the public perception or do they really care at all?
I think, look, certainly it's a subject that's very close to my heart and anyone involved in real estate, it's a very, I suppose, a raw subject. It's a touchy one at that. And my view is, and in fact, I was chatting to someone only the other day about this, I'm just about old enough to remember when online portal advertising, became prevalent, as it were. And we were all rubbing our hands together with glee and joy because we thought, fantastic, we can move away from the rivers of gold that are newspaper adverts, and this is going to be free and effective and all these different things. And, you know, the irony now is, is look where we are today. You know, essentially the likes of REA and Domain, they are now the new rivers of gold. And, you know, it's not just picking on those two organisations. There are many others across the globe that essentially have either a monopoly or a duopoly. And I've always said to anyone, listen, you know, we're tantamount to Dr. Frankenstein. You know, we created the monster ourselves. And if we don't do something soon, I think my fear is it's almost going to be too late. And, you know, you just need to look at the exponential rises in costs. And they, believe you me, they will continue to go up. And we've got nowhere to go with this. We really don't. You know, we may as well just hand the keys of the industry over to these large portals, because it won't take long before all of a sudden they start figuring out, well, do we even need agents? You know, can we just cut out the middleman? And it's already starting to happen. So I'm really pleased and encouraged to see the industry starting to fight back. You know, again, whether it's this latest industry back portal, I don't know. My fear or concern there, though, is their angle or their approach. What are their motives? Are they setting up this business to target the consumer and be market leading and offer a robust service for agents, or are they doing it almost out of spite or revenge or as an alternative to REA and Domain? My view in business is that you have to start with the consumer and work backwards. And I think that although we are all too aware of these various portals that are popping up in competition at the moment as an industry, I think if you stopped 1,000 people on the street tomorrow and asked them, they wouldn't have a clue. If you stopped and asked them, you know, which websites they relate to property, it would be two, maybe three players at the very most. So I think we really need to start with the consumer first. I don't know what their business model looks like, but I hope it would be a pincer movement. And in that, I mean, look, targeting the agents, which I know they're starting to do, but more importantly, targeting the consumer, because it will take millions and millions of dollars to obviously target the consumer so in that they know who they are and where to go. Whether we like it or not, realestate.com and Domain are like national institutions in this country. And for God's sake, you know, realestate.com have got Arnold Schwarzenegger advertising their product now, you know, so that's powerful stuff. So unless these industry portals are going to start to getting on the phone to the likes of Tom Cruise to do the advertising for them, they've got a lot of work ahead of them. And I'm hoping that they can pull it off. I really, really am. And anyone that's going to challenge the duopoly and basically establish a more competitive environment, well, look, they certainly get my backing, that's for sure.
Well, if you ask anyone in the public, and certainly I have, when those new ads were released by REA with Arnold, the public love them. They think it's hilarious. I think it's absolute checkmate play from really an awareness point of view with the public facing side of their business. Really what the industry is now effectively doing is saying to that audience, well, no, here's the new platform that we're building. And it's essentially saying to everyone that's on Facebook, look, this is the new social media platform. This is where you need to be. It's going to be hard, but I agree with you, Doug. I think it's certainly something that needs to happen. I hope it really does. Yeah, and like you said, it really comes down to their motives, doesn't it?
I think so. And the reality is I've yet to see the model. Again, I've heard various whispers. I would suggest, though, that people that do knock the likes of REA and Domain off their perch will come at it from a completely different angle. I mean, you mentioned things like Facebook then. If you look now, Facebook with the younger generation is nowhere near as popular as what it was with the generation before. You just need to look at things like Snapchat, or to a lesser extent, people like Twitter. You know, their rise is exponential. And I think whoever it is, whatever it is, it's going to have to be different. Because if you're going to fight fire with fire, you're probably going to lose. So,
well, that's who really the agents are competing against, isn't it? Is the public perception not only of people in real estate, but really the public perception of, why should I not be advertising on realestate.com or Domain? What's so great about this other network that realestate.com or Domain can't do?
And I think, look, again, it goes back to starting with the consumer. You just need to look now at what the consumer's doing, how they're doing it, and then essentially you adapt your model to that. You know, I think if we look at social media now, you know, why is it that the likes of Facebook don't necessarily have a section which they could integrate where you might be able to search for property as and when you register, obviously something pops up live on your feed. I mean, these things are all very possible. Whether or not they see it as a conducive market or not, that remains to be seen. I mean, just imagine for a moment, if you will, if all of a sudden Google really threw their weight behind property and they decided that they were going to have a functionality on their site where people could search for property. You think about all the different aspects they've got. If they just decided to join the dots, that would be a genuine game changer. Now, coincidentally, I've actually spoken to Google about it and tried to encourage them to do just that. But as I said, by all accounts, they've got bigger fish to fry, and that's not necessarily part of their business model. But I certainly think whoever is that breaks that, you know, monopoly or duopoly is going to be someone that has a very different philosophy to how things are done, and they're going to be on the absolute cutting edge of consumer wants and needs.
Doug, we often hear the 20,000-foot view of someone's success in real estate. Here on this podcast, we want to take it down to that ground level of actual moments in time where you've either failed or succeeded in your real estate career. Can you tell us a story, take us there with you, of a moment in your career where you'd felt like you'd failed? Tell us what happened and really how it made you feel.
Well, I think there's two things there. Again, from a deal perspective, I remember we were trying to put together a deal on a house which we had listed for, I think it was £2.25 million. And this would only have been 4 or 5 months later. We were trying to put a deal together for £1.3 million. And basically, on the day of exchange, the buyer said, no, I won't pay a penny over 1.1. And the seller actually took it, bit his hand off. And you think about that, that's literally half the price. And that was, like I said, in a matter of months. And I think, if anything, that really highlighted the plight of the market at that moment in time. And I guess in terms of just general real estate-based stuff, I mean, I remember having every single morning to go in and motivate my team and teams, which is very, very challenging. How do you do that? It really was difficult. But if you didn't laugh, you started to cry. It was that simple. You had to remain upbeat. I'm very, very proud that each and every one of those people, or the vast majority of them, weathered the storm and are far, far better agents, managers, leaders, business owners because of it.
And was it really the market that I guess was dictating how you felt, or was it performance? Were you questioning your performance at that time, thinking, look, am I doing the right thing? Or at the time, were you sort of blaming the market, or was there a mix of both? What was really what was going through your mind during those times?
Oh, well, you can sit back and accept your fate. There's no question there. Or you can get off your ass and do something about it. And believe you me, when the phone doesn't ring, you either go broke and hungry or you try to do something about it. So again, it just goes back to those fundamental principles of prospecting, door knocking, trying to unearth opportunities, really. But as I said, getting others to buy into that and telling them that, look, this is going to pass and there are sort of sunnier skies at the other end of this storm was very, very challenging. So from a leadership point of view and perspective, by far and away, that has been the biggest challenge of my professional career so far. And it's one, as I said, that's put me in very, very good stead. So, when I talk to people and talk to them about the way in which they should be managing themselves and indeed their teams, as I said, always question, well, what would happen in the worst case scenario? How well would you do? Would you survive? How would you fare against your competition? So it might seem a bit negative or pessimistic, but it isn't, because at the end of the day, as I said, sometimes the market can be fickle and can change for the worse.
Let's take it to the other end of the spectrum. Can you tell us a story that sticks out in your own mind that where you felt like, the formula you had in place was the right way to grow a real estate business? And again, take us there with you to a moment that stands out, or, whether it was a client you're working with or a deal that you're working on, what happened? What was going through your mind at the time, and how did it make you feel?
I think I'll probably answer that question on bringing things perhaps more up to the modern day, if you like, and relate it to Star Partners, because coming here as a foreigner, as a newbie pom, as it were, I had to learn very quickly what the real estate market here was all about. And although there are synergies and parallels, by the same token, the two markets are very different. And when I joined Star Partners, I realized that we were a group that had some fantastic people. We're very much a heritage brand, but to an extent, we were in places wilting on the vine. So we needed really to do some pretty difficult things and things which enabled us to move forward. And they were things that took a lot of courage and bravery. You know, they weren't necessarily always popular at the time, but they say you've got to break a few eggs to make an omelette. And, you know, at the time, we had to take a few steps backwards to take, you know, a few forward. And we actually saw a few of our officers leave the group. And so we just did definitely take two steps backwards. But I was, I suppose, unwavering in my view that we needed to do things properly. You know, we needed to really strip it back to basics. You know, I've said to you before and used the expression several times, there's no point in painting a rusty car. So for us, as I said, you know, we really needed to make sure that we're partnering the right people, you know, in a franchisee perspective. We needed to build some significant infrastructure from an IT perspective. You know, we needed to update our website, you know, our corporate identity. You name it, we had to do it. So when we started to see that come to fruition, start to bear fruit, I suppose that was one of the most satisfying moments of my professional career. So when we were, you know, nominated for three or four awards at the national ceremony 2 years on a trot, you know, when we won the Innovation Award, you know, in 2013, 2014, as you can imagine, we were beaming with pride, in fact, bursting with pride. But I guess from my point of view, more importantly, I love to see it when our offices do well, you know, because ultimately that's what we're all about. You know, we're there to build these businesses. We're there to support them and help them. So when we had, you know, five offices in the top 50 in the entire country, four of which were in the top 25, again, you know, that was just fantastic, phenomenal. And, you know, we want to continue to build, you know. We don't want to let the grass grow under our feet. You know, if we had a journey as an organization, we're not even at base camp yet, let alone the tip of Everest. So we've got awful long way to go, but those early signs of progress are very satisfying. There's no question there.
And what would you say is your proudest moment out of all of the achievements at Star Partners and yourself personally, Doug? What would be your proudest moment?
Look, I know this sounds a bit cheesy and cliched and all the rest of it, but I would actually say seeing some of our sort of fledgling offices come through and start to perform. And I guess the moment that I found out that we were number one across our entire area of operation, which is, as I said, pretty much now nearly two-thirds of the city, I was extremely chuffed by that, because that stands testament not to our endeavours and hard work, but more so the people, you know, on the coalface, you know, the offices themselves. And, you know, as and when we see these young people coming through the ranks and starting to succeed and start to dominate their own respective marketplaces, that probably fills me with more pride than anything else, because, you know, we've been party to that journey. You know, we've seen them through the bad times just as much as we have through the good. So as and when we see people emerge and start to succeed, I think for me that's probably the most satisfying.
Well, Doug, thanks so much for your input so far. We're about to hit the fast five, where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. But before we do, let's hear our fast fact of the week. This week's fast fact comes from the Exact Targets social breakup report, which found that 43% of people who unlike a brand on Facebook do so because of too much push marketing. And with an agency's property listings falling into that category, are your property listings on Facebook doing you more harm than good? I'm keen to hear your thoughts and what's working for you. Drop us a line via our website, Facebook or Twitter. Doug, we've reached one of my favourite parts of the show where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. Are you ready?
I think so.
All right. Now, name one person who has been an inspiration to you throughout your career and why.
Okay, you want quick answers, don't you? Well, that's a tricky one, because, you know, I'd like to think I take inspiration from everything and everyone. But to answer that question as succinctly as I can, I guess even from the outset, I was very lucky. My first ever manager in real estate, my first ever job, a guy by the name of Nick Thring. He's still a dear friend of mine today. He was someone who sat me down literally the minute I walked through the door in the first day of my real estate career. He taught me about structure. He taught me about how you plan your day. He taught me about time management. He taught me about accountability. And a lot of things that he taught me all those years ago are still things I use on a daily basis now. So he's definitely a big inspiration. inspiration. A guy by the name Martin Chester, who used to be our country house director, the previous company I used to work for, he taught me about refinement and spit and polish, you know, always making sure that everything's done right. He also taught me that you should strive for excellence, not perfection. Massive inspiration. And then there's just been countless others. I mean, I have to say, you know, my mum and dad, who always been very, very positive and very, very encouraging in everything I do, and served as a massive inspiration in my life and my career.
Great answer. And what is your favourite thing in the world to do when you're not at the office?
Oh, look, as little as possible, to be honest. I mean, you know what it's like. Real estate's a tough gig and, you know, it's pretty full on. So I like to unwind, and I do so in any number of ways. But, you know, sometimes just something as simple as going out having a beer or glass of wine with my friends, or indeed my girlfriend, brings me great satisfaction. I love to travel. I've been very, very lucky, and I've visited 51 countries and counting. So I've travelled the globe extensively.
You just got back from the World Cup, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I was in Brazil earlier this year. Part of me wishes I wasn't after England's abject performance, but nonetheless. So, yeah, look, I'm a big sports fan, of course.
Well, look, we probably should disclose the story behind our little sports adventure last year, Doug, when we went to the first game of the State of Origin down there at Stadium Australia, and you kindly invited me along and told me to wear my Queensland jumper, and little did I know that we'd be in the front row of the New South Wales supporters section. So thanks for that, for stitching me up on that one. Thanks so much.
Oh, mate, anytime. I'll probably do the same again to you next year.
Yeah, oh, well, look, it wasn't, I'm sure it was funny for everyone else. It certainly wasn't for me. So, yeah, thanks.
You got out there unscathed, so it's okay.
I'm still alive.
You managed to tell the story, so that's a good thing.
So what is your favourite business book that you've ever read?
Favourite business book? Probably The 4-Hour Work Week by Tim Ferriss. Mm. I, like probably a lot of people, picked it up for all the wrong reasons, thinking that I can lay on a hammock somewhere and do very little and be super successful. But unfortunately, the title was misleading, because it isn't about that at all. It's obviously about efficiency, how businesses should look to outsource, and just think outside the box. So for me, that's probably one of the, I suppose, most captivating books I've read, and certainly has helped shape my career, and certainly more so my philosophy.
I remember reading, just after I finished reading that book, along came the book The One Thing by Gary Keller, which is very much a similar premise, and written from someone who's been involved with real estate in a big way, obviously Keller Williams in the United States, and it's quite interesting to have a real estate perspective on it, and I think they follow the same message, which is spot on with what you said. Doug, what is your favourite technology resource you use daily to help you run a better business?
It's a little known website, Josh, you may have heard of. It's called Google. Okay. Having said that, all jokes aside, for me, Google is the most wonderful resource. You know, it sounds a bit obvious, but you literally can get anything and everything from Google. You know, if I want to know anything, all I do is simply Google it. And, you know, sure enough, I'll find the answer. It seems so simple on the surface in terms of how easy it is to circumnavigate, but the technology behind the scenes with Google is astonishing. It's astounding, in fact. So, yeah, look, first and foremost, I would say the best piece of technology that I use every day is Google.
Great answer. I don't think anyone would disagree with that. It's often said, Doug, that the success of a real estate business is measured by how many properties they sell or how many properties they manage. If you had to choose one thing, just one, that prevents people in real estate from achieving success, what would it be, and what would your advice be to overcome it?
Great question. I would probably say the crippling fear of failure and rejection. I mean, I think rejection is what stops the good becoming great sometimes. You know, I mean, a bit cliche, but I would say that every no is a step close to yes. And for me, failure is not something I concern myself with. You know, it's said that if you're not failing often enough, you're not trying hard enough. And, you know, I wear failure as a badge of honour, if you like. And, you know, as I said, it's one of these things where it's perseverance, it's persistence. And, you know, we need to overcome the fear of rejection, because at the end of the day, you know, it's going to take 30, 40, 50 no's before we do get to that yes. So the fear of rejection would be my answer there, Josh.
No, I think it's an excellent answer. I remember seeing a speech with the founder of LinkedIn where he said, if you're not embarrassed by the first product that you release to market, then you've launched it too late. And I think that relates to real estate in so many ways. And what I mean by that is certainly from a real estate agent's perspective, if you're not out there trying things and learning what doesn't work, then you're really not doing it at all, are you?
No, it's true. I mean, even, you know, we talk about the greats in business, they've all failed miserably and done so several times. You know, we talk about the likes of Bill Gates. You know, we look at Microsoft and, you know, obviously it was once upon a time the most profitable company in the world. But then no one ever talked about Trafidata, the company that he and Paul Allen set up beforehand, which was an almighty failure. Yeah, look, don't be scared to fail. As long as it's, you know, a ring-fenced risk, as it were, and it's not going to bring down the business, give it a go. I mean, that's the Australian way, isn't it? You know, obviously it's about giving it a go and see what happens.
Well, Doug, I have one last question for you to leave our listeners with some motivation for the week ahead. What's your favourite success quote and how do you think people in real estate can relate?
Well, I'm not necessarily sure it's a success quote, but one of the things that you'll know well about me and others will as well is that I'm really big and I'm a huge advocate on KPIs, analytics and metrics. And I believe that if you want to improve yourself, then obviously you need to know, you know, where your starting point is and obviously your end goal. So I suppose the quote that I often use in around that subject would be that if you can't measure it, you can't manage it. If you can't manage it, you can't control it. And if you can't control it, you can't improve it. And everyone listening to this will hopefully understand what I mean and hopefully it will resonate.
Absolutely. Well, Doug, on behalf of our listeners, I'd like to thank you so much for your time, knowledge and advice today. I know that people will resonate with the content you've shared. How can people get in touch with you or find out a little bit more about Star Partners?
Look, on a personal level, they're more than welcome to phone me on my mobile, which is 0410 146 119. Alternatively, send me an email to douglas@starpartners.com.au, or if they'd like to find more about our wonderful organisation, then just visit starpartners.com.au.
Doug, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Well, that's it for this week. Thank you so much for joining me. If you did enjoy the show, we'd love you to head on over to iTunes and leave us a review. And if you have any ideas on how we can improve, please send us an email, because at the end of the day, this show has all started to help you, the real estate pro. I hope you have a great week ahead and I look forward to speaking with you next week. Bye for now.